Welcome, everyone, to the ProWrestling.net All Access Podcast. My name is Chris Shore, and I am flying solo this week. My normal partner, Jake Barnett, having the weekend off. He is in the beautiful southwestern part of America. I've never actually visited there myself, but have family there. Hope to get out there someday. So he's somewhere in Arizona, New Mexico, Nevada. So if you're a listener listening that lives in that area, try to find Jake down. I'm sure I just narrowed it down a lot for you. But he is off this week because of that. He's out there on business, so I am flying solo. Normally, Jake joins me every week. We do this audio review of SmackDown for you each and every Saturday, or most each and every Saturday. We've had some bumps in the schedule over here recently, but try to get this guys out there, get this out to you guys every week on Saturday, free for our listeners. But not, we do a lot more audio here on the site each and every week, and that is exclusive to our members. Jason Powell does a WWE Raw review when he's not on vacation like he was this week. Jake, of course, I do this review on Saturday. Will Pruitt does the TNA Impact Wrestling review, usually on Friday. Sometimes that's All Access, sometimes that's members exclusive. Will and Jake get together usually on Wednesdays for the .NET Countdown, where they look at the best and the worst in professional wrestling each week. Jason Powell does a Friday Q&A audio where members can ask both wrestling and non-wrestling questions. And then Jason and I get together every Thursday for our flagship show. We call it .NET Weekly. We review all the news of the week, often break news that's not made its way to the site yet. And in fact, this week had a very special guest while Jason was on vacation. Brian Fritz of BetweenTheRopes.com joined me, and we did about 90 minutes talking about, primarily WWE Hell in a Cell, obviously, with that coming up on Sunday. And Jason Powell and I will be along that Sunday night with another audio review of that show. But again, that will be exclusive to our members. If you'd like to get access to that audio, plus follow along with us that Sunday night on the ad-free version of the site, and get access to the .NET member blog and forum section, which just went through a major update. We're getting a lot of great reviews from the members there. They really like some of the things that we've done, we've changed. There's still some additions and changes coming over the next week or so as Jason works his way back from vacation, and we start kind of sifting through all the different comments. It's going to get even better there, so it's a great time to become a .NET member. And all you got to do to be one is head on over to ProWrestling.net, click on the right-hand side of the page where it says .NET member, sign up. We'll get you started there for only $7.50 if you take the 30-day option. If you know right now you want to be a member for a year, we'll knock $2 off each month, give it to you for $5.50 a month. So go sign up right now. Listen to our audio Sunday night for WWE Hell in a Cell. Check out the new forum. And, of course, probably the best part, the ad-free version of the site available to you guys. Only $7.50 a month, $5.50 a month when you take that annual option. But again, Jason and I will be back on Sunday night with Hell in a Cell audio review. And this SmackDown was, of course, the final opportunity that WWE had to go into or to sell Hell in a Cell. I don't know if they could have done anything to sell more pay-per-views than they've already sold. I think this, this is a one-match pay-per-view. There are people, I'm sure, who think Sheamus and Big Show are going to be a good match. And I'm interested to see what they can do together and what story they're trying to tell and if Dolph Ziggler plays in. I think there's some interesting things going on, but let's be fair. This is a one-match pay-per-view, and it's Ryback versus CM Punk. And it's the big question. Will WWE pull the trigger, take a chance on someone new like Chris Jericho suggested in recent comments to the Busted Open Radio radio show? Or, are they going to keep the title on CM Punk, as my guest on .NET Weekly, Brian French from BetweenTheRopes.com, suggested they do? It's kind of a crapshoot now, but that is what everybody is buying this pay-per-view for, is to see what's going to happen with the WWE Championship match. And everything else is kind of down the list some. Even the better stuff that's on there is kind of down the list. Randy Orton, Alberto Del Rio, even those matches. This is a one-match pay-per-view, and I don't think they could do a lot on SmackDown as it was to sell that pay-per-view anymore. And to be fair to WWE, they hit all the right things. And maybe it's just that understanding going in that there's not really more you can do on SmackDown to raise my interest. Because we know we're not going to see CM Punk and Ryback on SmackDown, telling that story. That's going to be exclusively on Raw. And so it's, since that's what's really driving pay-per-view buys here more than anything else, then you can't expect a whole lot. And so that knowledge going in might have been what I thought kind of made this show kind of a you know, a missable version. They did all the right things. They hit all of their spots for, you know, trying to sell the stories that are primarily on SmackDown with Big Show and Sheamus, which, yes, they do a lot of time on Raw, but, you know, everybody, there is no brand split anymore, but these are considered SmackDown matches. Del Rio versus Orton, considered a SmackDown match. They did a lot of stuff with that. The tag team matches, that, you know, that tag team is usually getting more love on SmackDown than it is on Raw, as far as, you know, continued storytelling, and certainly with Daniel Bryan and Kane, ever since that, that diner skit that they did on Raw. Most everything else, as far as long stuff, non-match stuff, has been on SmackDown. That got a lot of love. So, I mean, they hit all of their things they needed to hit to make this a successful show for them. But, I wonder if it was just that knowledge of, you know, it's Punk and Ryback and everything else is in. You can't really sell me on, and we're not going to say any more on Punk and Ryback, so... You know, I mean, it just, when the show was over, it's, Jake and I talk a lot about, you can tell how good a show is by how fast it goes through. If you look up and you're like, oh God, I got 5 quarters left, then it's a terrible show. And if you look up and you're like, holy crap, really the main event, then it's a good show. And, you know, this did not fall on the bad side. I thought it went pretty quick. It didn't really drag at any moment for me. It just... I don't know, it was just like, okay, yeah, I almost wish they could have not had SmackDown this week. It seemed almost like a waste of time for them. I thought that, you know, they did the Ryback gimmick on Main Event with Dolph Ziggler to put some heat on Ryback, and then Paul Heyman got the comments, so, you know, that was kind of the colon on the end of this part of the phrase, and the end of the sentence comes this Sunday at Hell in a Cell. And it's only one Hell in a Cell match with Punk and Ryback. That's kind of interesting how they're doing that this year. So certainly some interesting stuff going into Hell in a Cell, but not very interesting SmackDown. Let's take this thing apart. We'll start at the top. This was taped on October the 23rd in Providence, Rhode Island. Again, it was the October 26th edition of WWE SmackDown. The show opened cold, right, with Randy Orton's music. No intro, no pyro, nothing. Just Randy Orton making his way to the ring. Josh Matthews, JBL, checking in on commentary. We get a video that recaps Alberto Del Rio's attack on Orton a couple of weeks ago and beating him down and putting him out so they could go shoot his movie. Actually, I guess it was last month when that attack happened. Orton said that, you know, most people thought he hated Del Rio because that he had attacked him, but it wasn't that he attacked him, it was why he attacked him. He said he attacked him because Del Rio was trying to hide the fact that he had been a total failure. The problem was he picked the wrong guy to make an example out of, and he said at Hell in a Cell he was going to give Del Rio the beating of his life. Started to say more, but Del Rio's music cuts him off. Del Rio says Orton's not being, you know, he says, you want to call me not honest? Because he said that Del Rio did it to prove, it was a dishonest attack is what he didn't like about it, because he was just trying to cover up the fact. It wasn't that he was trying to climb the ladder, he was just trying to cover up his inadequacies. And so Del Rio came out and said Orton wants to call him not honest. He said, well, that Orton is not very smart. He said Orton's not a viper anymore, he's just a garden snake that Del Rio can crush with his boot at any time, or crush his head with his boot at any time. He said that he was the new apex predator in WWE, which I kind of just, they're fighting over, I mean, we're fighting over this title, this name. It's, I don't know, it's kind of a silly thing to me. Orton said that Del Rio, you know, talked a lot of smack, was a real big talker when there was a lot of space in between them, but he said that Del Rio was a fake and had no cojones. Del Rio said, oh, so you want to do this now? And Orton said, come on. Del Rio acted like he wanted to go to the ring. At first, I thought Ricardo was telling him not to go to the ring, much like Heyman did with Punk on Monday. But no, he was egging him on. And then Del Rio decided, no, he wasn't going to go to the ring and face Orton. He said he would do it. They would do it on their time. He would see him on his time. He said he would see him on Sunday. He left the ring, left Orton standing there staring up the ramp, when out of nowhere, Wade Barrett slides in the ring, attacks him, hits him from behind with kind of a forearm shot, knocks Orton down. Barrett slides from the ring, smiles at Orton, and backs up the ramp. And that was it. You know, Orton's just left standing there looking pissed off and kind of, you know, concussed or whatever, however, hurt from the attack a little bit. You know, and then Josh and JBL just move on to start hyping stuff in the show. So a weird finish to the opening segment. I thought it was okay. Again, it's this, you know, this feud is as hot as it's going to get. They're not going to do anything to take any of the attention off of that main event, so they're not going to do anything special. So this is as hot as it's going to get, and it's, you know, it was okay, but it's not anything to get super excited about, and that's going to be the theme of this audio, because that was the theme of SmackDown, was here's something that was good, it was okay, but it's not anything to jump up and down about. It wasn't bad, but it was kind of paint by numbers, go through the motion, all those cliches of just, you know, holding pattern, if you will. They just reminded everybody these two guys don't like each other. They're facing off on Sunday at the pay-per-view. They did the same thing with the tag matches, and they did the same thing with the main event. So, or not necessarily the main event, but the World Heavyweight Championship build. So, again, everything they were supposed to do, just nothing to really make you want to see the pay-per-view. After commercial, Teddy Long walks up on Del Rio backstage and asked him what he was trying to do out there. Del Rio played innocent, and he didn't know what he was talking about. He wasn't even there. Barrett walked up at that point and said, "Hey, Del Rio, is that what you wanted?" Del Rio tried to shush him. It was kind of dumb. I mean, you know, these sorts of things are... This is kind of... Just quickly to get up on a rant for just a second. This is kind of the problem with Vicky Guerrero being made the GM on Raw because of fraternization from AJ. It's not Vicky being the general manager that's the problem. It's not AJ being fired or asked to resign for fraternization that's the problem. It's Vicky being the one who replaced her because of fraternization. It's kind of an insult to wrestling fans who remember more than what happened just 10 seconds ago. And we all know that, Jesus, she married Edge from a storyline standpoint. And this is the person you're going to replace. You've had a scandal. I mean, isn't that like having, isn't that like replacing, you know, if you're a business and you have a sex scandal, let's replace him with Larry Flynn or, you know, or some rock star who's always out there sleeping with women. I mean, you know, what? It doesn't even make any sense. It's just ridiculous. And this is one of those situations, too. Barrett walks up and goes, "Hey, man, is that what you wanted?" with the authority figure standing right there and Teddy Long. It's just dumb. And it makes Barrett look dumb. And it's, you know, it's these little things that irritate me now. It's you know, with WWE, I don't mind taking certain liberties with logic. I don't mind playing by WWE's rules when it comes to, you know, getting from point A to point B sometimes, but come on, these guys are not idiots, and please stop making them look like idiots. It's just these little things that aggravate me. And look, it is the little things that make shows the difference between good and great, and sometimes even between bad and good. You just fix some of the little things. So this is one of those that just, I don't get it. Anyway, at that point, Teddy is able to smile real coy-like and go, "That's what I thought. Don't try to play a player." He booked Wade Barrett for Randy Orton for later, but, you know, Barrett didn't look upset about that. He looked pleased, which I really liked. Again, the flip side, a little thing here, instead of just standing there with a look on his face like, "Oh, I have to face Orton," or, "Oh, I have to face Orton," which is even worse that we get sometimes, it was, "Yeah, I get to face Orton." That I like. I want to see more of that from most of the roster. Even the baby faces need to be able to, you know, and they show some excitement, but... You know, we need to see that from more of everybody. Yay, I get to fight that guy. He's better. I mean, I don't mind it when they, you know, it's Kane or Big Show or, you know, one of these monster characters. Somebody showing concern, that's fine. But just another guy, yeah, we need to see more of that. You know, yes, I'm happy that I get to do this. Cody Rhodes and Damian Sandow join the commentary team for our first match of the night. Damian Sandow and Daniel Bryan join the commentary team for our first match of the night. Cody Rhodes and Kane. Kane defeats Cody Rhodes 3:16. Cody got in a little bit of offense. He went to drop down and do his brother's drop down punch. But Kane grabbed him instead of taking the punch, grabbed him by the throat, picked him up, chokeslammed him. That was it. Of course, Sandow spent the entire match on commentary calling Bryan the weakest link, calling him a goat face, talking about his beard wasn't near as sophisticated and that sort of stuff. We got a replay of all that stuff later, but it was fun. Those two guys are entertaining on the mic, and never thought I would say that with Daniel Bryan, but he's been such a surprise. And Damian Sandow just has impressed me from the moment I first heard him speak. I like what he does. I like his gimmick. I like his character. I like what he's doing with it. He's just a guy I'm really impressed with. I hope they have big things planned for him. And it certainly looks like he's being pushed pretty fast compared to the way most of the guys are. I hope they don't screw this up, though. And, you know, God knows they love to do that. We get a video recapping Big Show's attack on Sheamus at the end of last week's SmackDown, where he chokeslammed him. And, you know, in the large, no, I'm sorry, that was on Raw. I said I wrote SmackDown, but that was on Raw. The largest, lumberjack match in Raw history or WWE history or whatever it was. Show said he, so they showed that him getting the chokeslam, which allowed Punk to get the win. Booker T walks up to Show backstage and says, look, I need to talk to you about tonight. You know, you and Sheamus are going to be out there facing each other. Show cut him off, cut a very reserved, calm, but menacing promo. It was, you don't have anything to worry about me, Booker. You know, I proved everything I needed to prove on Monday night on Raw, and he just delivered it. I thought it was a very good promo from Show. Said that there was nothing to worry about. He proved everything he needed to prove on Raw. He said he wouldn't get any problems out of him, nor did he expect any problems out of Sheamus because Sheamus was scared. He said that Sunday he would be the new champion, and he walked away, leaving Booker standing there. I thought a really good promo from Big Show. One of his better promos. One of the few moments where I was like, hey, I was kind of impressed by it. I mean, it was a good promo by Show. It was very short, but his delivery was spot on. He wasn't the raging giant, which I think can get silly at times. And of course, he's not been the goofy giant for some time. This was just good stuff from him. After commercial, we get Miz made his entrance before the commercial. We get back, like, the bell rings. We get a hard sell for WWE 13, and then the bell rings. Yoshitatsu's there. I didn't hardly have enough time to register who it was before the bell rang. And our second match, Miz defeating Yoshitatsu, 3 minutes and 59 seconds. This was basically all Miz. It was almost a squash for Miz, which is bizarre coming off the squash from Ryback on Raw. They're trying to put heat on Miz going into the pay-per-view and his match with Kofi Kingston, but it's too little too late, man. He lost all of these matches, all these non-title matches. He would retain in title matches, and then he finally loses in the title match. And then you turn right around and feed him the friggin' Ryback after that. It's just stupid. It's just stupid booking, and it really pisses me off. I mean, I'm not that I'm the biggest Miz fan. I like Miz. I like what he does. But this is just stupid booking that you take your challenger for the Intercontinental title and just feed him to Ryback. There's so many other guys that could have been killed by Ryback. He didn't gain anything from meeting The Miz over, say, you know, beating Jinder Mahal or Heath Slater, another one of those guys. I mean, there's 100 guys out there you could have fed to him. Maybe not 100, but there's certainly, you know, plenty of guys on the roster who weren't doing anything who, you know, would have meant as much as Miz in a loss to Ryback because it's Ryback. Of course he's going to win. So no surprises when he beat Miz. He doesn't gain anything by meeting Miz, but in the process, Miz just looks like a chump. He looks just like Zack Ryder. He looks just like Jinder Mahal and Heath Slater. That's the level you're putting him at. Then he goes out there and dominates Yoshitatsu, but you're like, I didn't even know Yoshi was still on the damn roster. So you're just devaluing Miz at every opportunity, and if he's a guy that you're wanting to do anything with, I mean, good God, they're going to do a Christmas special with him, and you know, maybe this is leading to a face turn for him into that Christmas special they're doing in 2013 with ABC Family. But oh my God, it's just dumb booking, and it drives me crazy. No reason to put him in meaningless matches that no matter whether he wins or loses, devalues him, and then put him in a title match and hope that Kofi's going to be able to get some heat off of that. It's just not going to happen. I mean, I think people are going to like Kofi, but it's not going to be because of Miz. After commercial, we get a video that recaps Ryback's attack on Punk on Raw at the end of that Lumberjack match from Monday, and then the comments from Paul Heyman from Main Event that night, or this week on Wednesday night, which I thought, again, Heyman cut a very good promo. And then we get a hard sell for their match at Hell in a Cell. You know, again, that's the match. Backstage, Booker T had all four divas around him, Eve, Oksana, Layla, and Caitlin. He finally looks at Oksana and said, all right, Oksana, did you get that email or text or whatever it was from Eve? Oksana said, yes. It broke down into, you know, cackling from all the women. Good God, it sounded like my house. It finally Booker T walks up and says, "There you go, Eve. You've been exposed. Now we know." Eve tried to play it off as I don't have a password on my iPad or my iPod. I leave it laying around. I'm too trusting. Anybody could have done it. I wonder who it could have been. And she made a face at Teddy Long. Teddy Long said, "I had nothing to do with this." And once again, it broke down into a gaggle of women just chirping away. And at one point, I wasn't sure if I was watching my television or if I was watching my living room. For those who don't know, I have four daughters and a wife. It's kind of hell around here sometimes. Finally Booker T is like, "Enough is enough. All of you shut up." It was my favorite moment of SmackDown. He's like, "Women, shut up." maybe he didn't say that, but you get my point. He had everybody be quiet. He said he had had enough. At that point, he booked a triple threat match for the Divas Championship. Eve will defend against Caitlyn and Layla at the pay-per-view. And then he said, "Tonight we're going to have a tag match." He put Eve and Oksana together against Caitlyn and Layla for later on. And then he threw all the women out of his office, "Go Booker T." And just he and Teddy were left standing there. He looked at Teddy, and Teddy kind of shrugged his shoulders like, "Hey, player, don't look at me. They women. They're crazy. What you going to do?" And right on, Teddy, right on. The only question I really have at this point about the Divas is, why Oksana? I mean, I don't mind, but why Oksana? I mean, she was with Antonio Cesaro, and then they broke them up, had him dump her on TV, and why her? Aren't there other Divas that probably deserve a push more than her, or maybe deserve is the wrong word? I don't know. Oksana seems just kind of randomly thrown in there. I'm a little bit confused by that, but it's neither here nor there. She's a bit player. After commercial, third match of the night, Wade Barrett defeating Randy Orton 14 minutes and 14 seconds. Very good match. Not real surprising from these two. Again, a match that was good and very good at times, but not one that I'm sitting here going, "Oh, this is must-see, you should watch." Because the wrestling was just above average. It wasn't, anything great. B-level, wrestling, I would say, which is good. Again, it's good, but it's not exemplary, and there wasn't a story behind it other than the little bit they set up. Not enough to really get, hot for. Del Rio interferes at the end, distracts Orton, allows Wade Barrett to hit the souvenir elbow, and there you go. And, Del Rio got in the round. Let's back up and just deal with the match itself first. So, again, it's one worth sitting through, but unless you're just looking for wrestling, new wrestling to watch that you haven't seen, I can't tell you to go find this one. I just don't know that it's worth it to go for it. It was good, but I just don't know if it's worth going out of your way to see. Again, if you're looking for something new to watch, then absolutely I recommend this. If you're like, "Oh God, should I choose between this between this match or something else that I like equally as much?" God, I would probably recommend the other thing because it just, nothing happened here. It was two guys who we know that can wrestled well. No real surprises there. But then post-match, Del Rio jumps in the ring, goes after Orton, tries to lock on the arm breaker, but Orton slips out, hooks him for the RKO, but Del Rio slips out, pushes him away, and is able to escape to the floor and leave. And so both guys live to fight another day, staring at each other as we go into the commercial break. Again, all the high points with Del Rio and Orton, all the things they needed to do, I still don't care. I still don't care. They have not built this feud well at all. They've done all the right things, but they damaged Del Rio so much, and Orton's schedule has been so screwy with the filming that it feels like kind of two part-timers who were in there, putting them together because they're part-timers, and what the hell else do you do with them? I mean, Del Rio's not a part-timer, but that's what it feels like. That's what they've diminished this feud to because of the damage to both guys. After commercial, we get our fourth match of the night, that Divas tag team match we were talking about. Layla and Caitlyn versus Eve and Oksana. Eve and Oksana defeats Layla and Caitlyn 3 minutes and 34 seconds. Finish on this comes with, you got all four women in the ring. You've got Caitlyn holding Eve so that Layla can hit the kick on her. They had just done the gimmick with Oksana to knock her out. They go to do it again with Eve, but Eve ducks, and so Layla kicks Caitlyn in the head. Eve shoves Layla to the floor and then dives on Caitlyn to cover her for the victory. And then, of course, after the match, you get Layla in the ring trying to reach out to Caitlyn, but Caitlyn blowing her off and telling her to get away from her. But, you know, no real heat between them, just, you know, creating the problem there. So then when they go after each other, when it's their turn in the triple threat match, when it's Eve's turn to take a powder and those two to work, there's a little something else underneath it. Again, everything they were supposed to do from a technical standpoint, it's the SmackDown is almost perfect. It really is. It's one of these anomaly shows where, when you make a list of goals, of things that you have to do, I believe WWE checked off everything that I would have made a list for them to do, but they're just little bitty checks, and they're not exciting checks, and there's a lot of video replays. I mean, I'm 25 minutes into recording right now, and I just talked about what happened in the sixth quarter out of eight. We usually go about an hour on these audios. And granted, it was going to be a little bit shorter today because it's one person, and one person is usually shorter than two. But if you go back and look at some of the other stuff we've done, I usually go about 45 minutes when I'm by myself, and then when Jake and I are together, we go about an hour, hour and 10 minutes. It's not half, but we're going to be about that now. We're probably looking at a 35-minute audio, not because I've rushed through anything. In fact, I feel like I've gone off on a couple of tangents at times. Just not much to talk about. You know, they did check this. They sold this for the pay-per-view. That was it. They reminded everybody, hey, these guys are having a match. And it was, you know, kind of so-so from there. So, you know, just something to keep in mind is if you're thinking about watching the show, if you haven't watched it yet, is if you watch it on fast forward, you're going to watch about as much of the show as you're going to hear me talk about. It's not an exciting show. It just isn't. I hate to kind of keep kicking that horse, but that's, you know, it affects everything down the line. It affects my ability to, you know, to have a lengthy audio. It affects you know, how much excitement there are on the other matches. And again, from a sales standpoint, they weren't going to do anything to sell any more pay-per-views. But it doesn't mean they couldn't have built some excitement for some of these matches. Again, maybe the fact that Ryback and Punk is so big prevents them from doing too big. I feel like they could have done more. I mean, they did a good job. We already talked about the other half of the tag stuff. And then the main event match, or the main event segment, were better, I thought, than some of the other stuff they did. But like Del Rio and Orton were kind of the Divas were, you know, but it's the Divas, so no real surprise there. And the first half of the tag stuff was kind of, it got better, but I think it was mostly the match that made the second half better. But we'll keep going from here. I just kind of wanted to, I looked down, I realized I was at quarter six, looked at my recorder and saw 25 minutes and thought, wow, I'm going to get out of here in a hurry today. Raw Rebound recap the AJ saga. If you have not heard, John Cena will be on the Hell in a Cell pre-show, the YouTube pre-show. Jason and I will be covering that live for the site. And he's going to answer questions about the AJ saga in court, including answers to questions from the quote-unquote WWE Universe. I'll be able to submit them through social media. I haven't seen how that exactly is going to work yet, but as soon as I do, I will have a story up on the site for you. Maybe there by the time you hear this, I have not seen yet. Backstage, Booker T walks up on Sheamus, who was kind of pacing around, looking kind of concerned. Not a big look of worry on Sheamus's face, but certainly he seemed more concerned than not. Booker T asked him to make sure he controlled himself tonight while he was out there. He said, you know, I've already talked to Big Show, and Big Show said he was going to, there wouldn't be any problems from him. And Sheamus said, really? You believe that? That lie's bigger than he is. Pretty good line. He said that as far as anything went tonight, he couldn't promise Booker anything. Booker walked off, and Sheamus just stood there continuing to look concerned. You know, decent stuff from those guys. Nothing spectacular there. It beat Lucky Charm Sheamus, which we only got a little bit of tonight. And I think that's why I liked a lot of what he had to do tonight. Elsewhere backstage, Daniel Bryan's shown getting ready. Kane walks up, said he won his match. He proved that he was the strong one. If Bryan lost his, it would prove that Kane is the tag team champions and that he is the strongest of the, and that Bryan is the weakest link. As I joke, my word grammar check is having a fit with that sentence. Even Damian Sandow pointed out in the opening match with Kane and Cody Rhodes when Daniel Bryan started the I am the tag team champions. That's not even grammatically correct, which I always think is kind of funny. Because I'm a grammar guy. What are you going to do? Brian's music hits. He comes and he starts to walk through the curtain. Kane slaps him on the ass like football players and, you know, all kinds of sports guys do. Slapped him on the ass. Brian looked at him and waggled his finger and went, no, almost like a dog. And Kane just kind of grinned and laughed a little bit as Brian went out. I wonder if that wasn't legit humor from Kane, because it was just kind of a ridiculous moment the way Brian's head snapped around and he whipped that finger up. No! Almost like he was a dog. Pretty funny stuff from them. After commercial, Cody and Kane had joined on commentary. Kane wasn't saying anything. Cody was, of course, whining about his neck hurting. Damian Sandow made his ring entrance, cutting a promo. He said that he couldn't understand why everybody was so infatuated with the word yes when there were so many better ways to show your to answer in the affirmative. He used a couple of big words, including indubitably. I can't even say the word. Forget it. You get the point. I can't even say the word now. And if Fanatic hears this, one of our members, Matthew Fanatic, hears this, he's going to just love that. I can't even say it. Screw it. Let's move on. he used a lot of big words to say yes, and he said that they were going to win the tag team championships without a doubt. At the pay-per-view, our fifth match of the night, Damian Sandow defeating Daniel Bryan, 8 minutes and 13 seconds. Really good match from these guys. Screwy finish, no real surprise there. You get Cody Rhodes getting involved. The ref's distracted because Kane's kind of going after Sandow. He's stalking him, not really chasing him, but just kind of stalking him down. Sandow's backing up. The ref's telling Kane to leave him alone. That gives Cody an opportunity to grab Daniel Bryan, slam him into the ring post, roll him back in the ring. Sandow hit the ring at that point, hit his straight jacket neck breaker for the win. And he and Cody celebrated up the mat while Kane just shook his head at Daniel Bryan, and Daniel Bryan seemed upset. So, you know, certainly trying to still sow the seeds of content. They did it during commentary in both matches as well. Really good match, even though this was shorter by about 4 or 5 minutes, I guess what, 6 minutes about of TV time, almost exactly. This is the one, if you're going to watch one match, I think this is the one that was better. Barrett and Orton was very good. I just thought this one was more exciting. I liked how these two guys worked together. I'm looking forward to seeing what they do on Sunday. Should be a pretty good tag match. People always sleep on Kane. I say that all the time. People are always, you know, complaining about Kane. He's a big man. He didn't have... And you put him in there with the wrong guy, and yeah, he's not a lot of fun to watch. You put him in there with guys who can work like Cody Rhodes, like Damian Sandow, and you accentuate him with a guy like Daniel Bryan, ought to be a pretty damn good match on Sunday if they're allowed to go out there and have some fun with it. So, interesting stuff for sure on that. That was the final match of the night. After commercial, we come back. They went to commercial right at the beginning of the eighth quarter, and so when we came back, we had maybe 11, 12 minutes, something like that, of the show left. Josh Matthews standing in the ring with a ton of security, just a massive guy standing in the ring. He introduced Sheamus first and then Big Show. Security formed a line going diagonally across the ring and kept both guys on their opposite sides. Big Show took the mic first and said that his KO punch was more powerful than the Rock Bottom, the Stone Cold Stunner, John Cena's attitude adjustment. He said it was scientifically proven that it was stronger than the bro kick. Sheamus said, that's true, but for the KO punch to work, you actually have to hit somebody with it. He said, the bro kick, and he started to say, you know, more about his kick, but Show cut him off and said, really, do you not remember the last time you tried to kick me? Do you really not remember? Here, let me show you. And he nodded towards the screen. They played the video of, I believe it was 2 weeks ago on SmackDown, when Sheamus went to kick Big Show. Big Show caught his foot, shoved him back to the ropes, and flipped him over. Sheamus took that hard bump on the floor where I honestly thought he concussed himself. He hits the ground, he kind of opens his eyes, and for a minute there, he's not there. I mean, it just looks like he kind of lost it for a second. I still wonder whether or not he worked with a concussion after that. Not taking shots at WWE, I wonder if he was, you know, right on that edge, and maybe he just managed to sneak by somehow, because it sure did look like a tough... I mean, it looked just like the bump Miz took at WrestleMania from Cena that caused him to have the concussion. And again, when you watch it, you see Sheamus' eyes glaze over just a little bit right after he hits. He hits, his eyes are closed, he kind of opens his eyes, and then he doesn't look right for a second, and... he sold that very well afterwards. If he didn't have a concussion, it was great acting, because, I mean, he honestly looked like he was out on the ground there for just a split second. show, but after the video show said, if you think you're going to kick my head off at Hell in a Cell, you're either stupid or delusional. Sheamus said, and this was the only cereal selling that we got, Sheamus said that there were two things he loved in life more than anything else, a cold pint on a hot day and a good fight. He said that when he realized he was going to face Show, when Show knocked out Randy Orton and Sheamus realized he was going to face him at Hell in a Cell, he got really excited because he had beaten everybody else around, but Show was a mountain, and he was a mountain that he was going to conquer. Show said that he couldn't conquer him, he was delusional. Sheamus said if he had to chop Show down and kick him with 1, 2, 5, 10 bro kicks, whatever it took, that's what he was going to do because he was going to leave as champion. Show said that it was all talk because he was scared. Sheamus said he's not scared. He's never been more excited. He said, you know, you and I have come out here and done a lot of talking, but the time for talking is over. The time for fighting is now. The time for fighting is now. Show said something, and Sheamus said, the time for fighting is now. Dropped the microphone, shoved past the security line, and dove on Show. They start brawling. Security starts pulling them apart. So what do? They turn on security. And it's, you know, just real quick, in case somebody goes, why aren't you complaining about this? That wouldn't happen in real life. Actually, it did happen in real life for me one time in middle school. I saw two girls get into a fight in middle school, and one of the teachers went to break it up. They stopped fighting each other and beat him up and went back to fighting. It was the stupidest thing I've ever seen. So when I see stuff like this happen on wrestling, I go, hey, I at least have reality to back this up. But they stop and beat up security. They take out just about everybody. Sheamus is done first. He turns around because Show has his back to him. When Show turns around, Sheamus jacks up for the bro kick. But Show drops down, rolls out of the ring, and says, no, 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 no. Sheamus hits it on one of the last security guys instead, and he stands in the ring while his music plays. Show just backed up the ramp and said, I will see you on Sunday. And that is how they close the show. Again, I like what they did here. I mean, I like what they're doing with Big Show, and I like Sheamus, just not the silly Lucky Charms character Sheamus. I like... You know, Sheamus the Badass. Now, we were borderline that here a little bit. The time for fighting is now. The time for fighting is now. And, you know, that sort of thing. We got awful close to it. We got close enough that, to me, it took a little bit of the shine off of what they did. But as a whole, I really liked it because, again, I think Sheamus as the badass babyface, as the... When I say this, I don't mean as a carbon copy of the character over, but as far as the same kind of motivational sort of thing, Sheamus as a Stone Cold Steve Austin type character where he just wants to go out there and beat ass. I mean, I don't mind it being like, I love a good fight. I'm here to fight. That's what I'm here to do. And by God, I'm going to fight. Really, I'm okay with that. It's just a matter of doing it, you know, in a way that doesn't make him seem like a complete joke. And that's what I worry about, is that Sheamus comes off like a joke a lot of times, and that's very frustrating because, again, I think there's so much more to his character, and I look at this and how serious Show has been, and, you know, maybe this is the path by which they get Sheamus back to being serious again. Maybe he loses here or wins somehow, but is so busy being silly and celebratory that Ziggler, you know, steals the championship with Money in the Bank. So, you know, it's hard to say exactly, you know, if this is what they're going to do, if they're going to make Sheamus better with this, but I certainly hope they do, because again, I think he's going to be better that way. Not, he doesn't have to be a heel, but he does need to have that edge to him to be able to be taken serious, I think. And yes, he's getting good pops, but I don't think any of that changes if you make him a better heel than what he is right now. Or not a better heel, but a better babyface, or a more badass babyface, if you will. So I expect a lot from this match. I think Sheamus is going to be able to carry Show to a good match. This was good, but again, not great, not special, not anything that really makes me want to see this match. There's nothing driving me to see it. I think we'll have a good match, and I'm looking forward to it in that sense, but it's not... If I didn't have to cover the show, I don't know that I would think twice about missing this match. I'd want to know what happened, but I wouldn't be like, okay, so you know, was this blah, 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 blah. You know what I'm saying? I wouldn't... It just doesn't seem important. That's the biggest problem right now with them, is that it just doesn't seem important, and nothing seems important outside of CM Punk and Ryback. And they've done some storytelling. It's just not very compelling storytelling, and this is what we've got coming into Hell in a Cell. And it's a testament to how big of a star CM Punk is and how big of a star Ryback may be that these guys are carrying the show all on its own. But I'd be interested to see what buy rates are for this, because it's a one-show pay-per-view, as I opened the show by saying. And the more I think about it, the more I wonder if that's enough, if that alone is enough to drive a good buy. It is what is driving buys right now. Whether it's good enough or not to draw good buys remains to be seen, but it is all that they have right now. And I don't know. I'm just kind of curious if they're going to be able to do a good number with this. I don't know. And certainly if they move the title on Ryback, what does that mean for the next month's pay-per-view? What does that mean for the Royal Rumble in January with the Rocks? So many questions. There's a lot of intrigue, but it's not so much storytelling intrigue, because I don't think the casual fan is thinking about Rock is sitting out there in January, and if Ryback wins, he could go on to face the Rock. I think those of us, you know, the internet crowd, and certainly those of us who follow it from a business standpoint are wondering about that. But I just don't think the casual fan is thinking about that. I really don't. I could be wrong, but I don't think they're thinking about that. And so I don't know how much that affects. It's an interesting time. It's an exciting time to be a reporter, you know, on the industry. But I don't know if it's necessarily a great time to be a fan still. It's not a very good creative time still in WWE. And this show shows that. They did everything they were supposed to do, but not very creatively, not in a very exciting way, and not in a way that I think put any significant heat on any match. Again, tag title match and the World Heavyweight Championship match got the best, but was it good? I don't know. I didn't find it all that exciting. But, you know, your mileage may vary. That's why I get to give my opinion, and you guys get to hear it and yell at the radio or the MP3 player or the whatever about how wrong I am, or about going, yeah, you're absolutely right, sure, whatever it is. But the good news is that I'm done for the day. That's all I've got. That's all of SmackDown. Jason Powell and I, again, will be back on Sunday with full coverage of Hell in a Cell, including all the matches here that were talked about here, and of course the big one, Ryback versus CM Punk. We will be back later that night as well with the audio review of the show, but that will again be members exclusive. Again, guys, it's a really good time to sign up. I know I say that a lot, but there's been a lot of changes on the site. They updated the back end side of the site, so things are saving a whole lot faster. Let me see if I can say that again. Things are saving a whole lot faster and better. We're able to get news out to you in a better way. We're not having some of the errors that we were having before. They really cleaned up the database, and it's very nice. And then, of course, the huge update in the forum, going up an entire revision level with the forum, and lots of new changes there. Expanded the blog section for members, so a lot of neat stuff going on in the forum. Good time to be a .NET member. Just head on over to ProWrestling.net. Click on the right-hand side of the page where it says .NET member sign up. You'll get all the details of everything you get, access to the audio, the old audio, the current audio, the new audio, ad-free version of the site, members forum, members blog section, and oftentimes breaking news that doesn't make its way to the free site for a day or two. Sign up to be a .NET member now. Join Jason and I Sunday night when we see you guys again for Hell in a Cell. Until then, I will be back next week with Jake Barnett. Everyone have a great weekend. We will see you Sunday night for Hell in a Cell. Take care.